Michael likes to be intimate with his microphone.
That's true.
Good night.
How's your cold open?
No, no, no! That's not the cold open. I gave you so many other good things to do.
No, 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 go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
How you guys doing? What's up, everybody? It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. I mean, we've got some topics planned out that we would like to discuss with you, but that does not prevent us from going off on a tangent, as has been known to happen on occasion.
Yeah. It's basically like our middle name here on the show. It's the Crispy Noodle Go Off on a Tangent Podcast.
Yeah. It just doesn't all fit, though, on a banner.
Yeah. That's we had to cut it back.
Yeah.
And the original title was originally like 30 words long, and we just kept cutting it back until we just got Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. It's a little known fact.
It's more environmentally friendly.
What, like writing words takes up resources, natural resources?
Yeah.
Like all coal and wood.
Right. All the pen.
How do you write, Rich?
All the pen ink. And
all the pen ink.
Yeah.
My God, how many pens are we using to write the title?
You have to use at
least 30,000 words long.
Yes, at least dozens, to get it all right.
Dozens of pens.
Yep. Thank God we...
So many pencils, too.
Thank God we shortened it down to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
We would still be here writing out the title for the first episode.
Yeah, right.
That's how long it originally was.
Exactly.
He just pages and pages.
There would actually be a book that would come out with the podcast.
Right. And you would have to buy the book for $9.99
and you'd have
to order it on
Amazon. Read each page to know what the full title of the podcast was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Sounds like a great business model. Yeah. Anyway.
Perfect.
What were we saying about tangents again?
Yeah. We go off on tangents. But nevertheless, let's get back on track. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Before we dive into the headlines we have planned out, we'd like to do a little recap as to, things that we've been up to in the week or so. As Mike's dancing over there.
I'm just dancing.
You're borrowing my moves. I'm the one that usually dances, for no reason. Now you're doing it.
I know. I don't know. The intro music is still in my head.
All right. Well, Mr. Dance-a-thon.
Yeah. Mr. Dance-a-thon.
Yeah. How are you doing over there?
I'm pretty good. I'm exceptional, actually, because I got my computer back.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Last week was chaos.
It was awful. I found out what was wrong with my computer. It was a scary component called the logic board.
Your logic board went down?
Yeah. I mean,
It just doesn't sound right.
No, I mean, actually, it sounds perfect for our show because we don't have much logic here, and so it makes sense that my logic board can't be calm.
No! I'm the master of the mechanical stuff, and I have to help you. You, the master of the stupid stuff.
Yeah,
that's basically what my computer did. Yeah. It just went insane. Logic board broke, but yeah, I was able to get it fixed by. The fine folks at Apple, so...
I'll just bash it with a rock!
I'm pretty sure that's what they did.
That's all they do.
Yeah, they just bash it with a rock.
I'll just bash it with a rock!
It's that world-class Apple product service, right? They just take it in the back. They tell you that they're fixing it, but they're just hitting it with random things.
I'll just bash it with a rock!
Well, it's good to see that your laptop is up and running.
Yeah. I'm like I said last week, I felt naked without it. I feel much more comfortable with my laptop again.
Did you like that cold open I chose?
Yes, it was so good.
See, Mike never knows the cold open that I'm going to choose when we publish the podcast.
Because we talk for like a while before we start recording and the mics are just catching all this random stuff.
Yeah, we do sound tests to make sure that the audio sounds all right. And
yeah, and sometimes my brother will come in and we'll have whole conversations with him and just yell random things. And last week, I guess I happened to at one point say, I just feel so naked without my laptop, and we're able to capture that.
So there you go. Check out last week's episode if you want to hear Mike proclaiming that he's naked without a computer.
What have you been up to recently, Rich?
Well, we had Halloween. That was a lot of fun.
Of course, Halloween. Yeah. Halloween's always a good time.
Yep. Had some candy.
You gotta have some candy. You know what I noticed going back to those candy surveys? All the Reese's candies were gone from my parents' Halloween basket.
Ah, yeah. Very popular.
It was the most. They had like three or four different types of Hershey, and every single one of them was gone. Or Reese's, sorry.
Well, yeah, Reese's is good. I would go for dark chocolate. Oh, dark chocolate.
Yeah, dark chocolate's good. I like the Reese's.
Yep. So we had that, and then Sunday was the ABAT motorcycle toy run.
Oh, that's right. You were talking about that. How'd that go?
Oh, that was a lot of fun. It was, you know, the only thing that is a pain is like getting up early, especially right. coming off of Halloween.
Oh gosh.
But luckily we had the daylight savings time.
Yeah.
So I caught an extra hour of sleep luckily.
So it all sort of worked out in the end then.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. You get to check out all these crazy motorcycles and, you know, people have like these weird, you know, little tidbits on their car, on their motorcycle, or you see like the motorized trike.
Motorized trike?
Three wheels. Yeah, right. Okay. The three wheels one.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would like that because I feel like it doesn't require much balance.
Right. That would be the one
which
would
be perfect. Yeah, I would have to.
We do not have a good sense of balance.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So that would be the one we would drive.
Yeah.
We would be Piney and Sons of Anarchy.
I see. I don't know. I didn't watch the show. I have no idea what that means.
Oh,
did he ride a three-wheeler?
Yeah. Really? Add that to your queue, Mike. You need to watch something. Okay. If not, for our legendary clip.
I'm not the one having murdered.
You need to listen.
One of the best lines from the series.
Yeah, right there.
Iconic.
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 To go back to the motorcycle toy run, it was great. We have a lot of toys for the kids. It was all in all great fun.
That's awesome. So did you guys bring in a lot of toys more than last year? Or
I believe so. I believe so. I don't think they have a total number yet, but I believe so. I believe it was bigger than last year.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. So a lot of fun. It was good. And you know what else too is usually it's later in the year.
Right.
The last couple ones that I've been to were more like towards Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But this year it was earlier, so we had a really nice day.
Yeah, the weather's been really nice lately. I mean, you know, it's chilly, but it's tolerable.
Yeah.
Which is how I like it.
Right, and I agree with you, too. This is the perfect fall weather. You know, just enough.
If we could just get a few weeks of this before we transition straight into the heart of winter.
Yeah.
You know?
Fall should be just cold enough that you need the jacket, and then, like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's perfect fall weather.
I agree. Right. Or in my case, short sleeves.
Yeah, for you. Yeah. You're wearing short sleeves right now.
Yeah.
Are you wearing shorts too?
I am.
Perfect.
When I go to work, I have jeans and like a nice like short sleeve shirt, but I don't wear like a jacket or anything. And it's just, it's really comfortable out.
Like a big polar bear.
Basically.
Very nice.
Yeah. I think I would enjoy the Arctic.
Yeah. Go swim in and enjoy some Coca-Cola.
I've always I can go for a nice Coke right now.
Yeah, there
now
you
that
go.
You mention it.
Well, you'll have to catch a Coke in the break.
Yeah.
But before then, we need to delve into the topics at hand. And our first batch is the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Yep, sports right. Coming at you in your face.
Right in your face.
I know we usually talk about football, but we gotta get to this headline. Baseball season has wrapped up the World Series.
Baseball. Yeah. It's fall, Rich. I'm not talking baseball.
It's the last time. It's the last time.
Right. As long as you promise me it's the last. No, I'm kidding.
Yep. The conclusion of the 2015 baseball season has arrived. The World Series comes to an end as the Kansas City Royals beats the New York Mets 4-1 in a 5-game series. The Kansas City Royals definitely deserve it. I mean, to come back from last year, they made the World Series last year, made it all the way to Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah.
And then to have the heartbreak of losing in Game 7 due to a magnificent pitching performance that they couldn't overcome. Then to fight their way back all throughout 2015, have the best record in the American League, and then to come back this year with a vengeance, roll their way into the World Series, and then to knock off the Mets 4-1 in this year's World Series. That's a story. I don't know how you cannot. I don't know how you cannot like this Royals team. This team seems like it should be like a Disney movie.
Yeah.
All their big wins were comeback wins, including the Game 5 win to capture the World Series. I mean, this it writes itself. It was a great story. I'm so proud to have seen this game.
Yeah, and you know what? When you think about, you know, how many sports teams have lost a championship, then come back the next year to, you know,
return
to the championship and then win it. I don't think that's ever happened in football.
Football is really tough. There's a Super Bowl curse.
Yeah. So, you know, for a team to do that, make it all the way to their respective championship game and then lose and then come back the next year and win it, that is like a fairy tale finish.
It writes itself.
That would be
the beginning of the story, would be the heartbreaking loss in game seven with Madison Bumgarner shutting them out in the last four innings of that game last year. And then the whole meat of the story would be the 2015 season, the trade deadline acquisitions they had. And then the climax would be this year's World Series, in which most of their wins were come from behind. The Mets were leading a lot of the time in this series.
Disney, they've got to get on that. They got to make it a movie.
Yep.
Especially when you frame it in the context of them snapping a 30-year drought.
Yeah.
For World Series.
I love that. I love it when a team hasn't won in a while.
Yeah, and they just, you know, get that weight off their shoulders.
Yeah.
I wish that certain Philadelphia teams could do that, but it's a different conversation for a different time. Right now we're celebrating the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah. And it's great to see them break this 30-year drought of not winning a World Series, especially for them being so close last year. On the flip side, though, I have to point out that the Mets really did blow this one.
And you blew it! You blew it.
Yep.
And you blew it! You blew it.
Robert De Niro is angry at the Mets.
Well, they blew it.
They did, especially in Game 5, and this is a chip on my shoulder. I have to get this off.
Okay.
All right. So for those that didn't catch Game 5, and I understand because this actually went late into the night because of extra innings. Game 5, the Mets were up 2-0 going into the ninth inning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
2-0 going into the ninth inning. Matt Harvey lights out, having a shutout game. But here's something the manager should have paid attention to, and I don't know why. The pitch count. You gotta keep an eye on the pitch count. I know you wanna, you know, you wanna write the storybook for your guy. You wanna have him have a great game. You wanna have the fans believe in the team and all that jazz.
Yeah.
But entering the ninth inning, he was up to 102 pitches.
That's a lot. That's a lot of pitches.
And Matt Harvey, too, no offense. He is kind of... I don't want to say that he can't last long.
I've seen pitchers last longer than that.
He's kind of not built for a full, complete game.
Okay.
He's great for a solid 6-7 innings.
I've seen pitchers pitch more than that though.
Oh yeah, yeah. Of course, some pitchers can pull it off, and some.
But you're just
can't.
Saying for his style and his talent, his ability.
Right. And I'm not saying he's a bad pitcher.
Right.
Please do not make this mistake. I'm just saying for the kind of pitcher that he is,
that's his.
He's
limit.
Not built for a full complete game.
Yeah.
All right. He's built for a solid 6-7 innings, and then you throw in your reliever. Hell, that's why you have relievers on your team. This is why.
So they kept the starter in. Why didn't they bring in the closer or something?
I guess the deal was they wanted him to have a complete game. So they leave him in.
Okay.
You know, hot hand logic.
Right, right.
You know, he's been lights out for the first eight innings. But, you know, they should have kept an eye. I even said it too. 102 pitches. I would think about relieving him.
Yeah.
You know? And then here's what happens. They leave Matt Harvey in for the first batter, gets to a full count, walks him, goes to first base. Then during his next pitch, the guy on first steals second, which is huge. Think about how huge that is, because that takes away any chance of a double play.
Right.
So now he has to, if they were to leave him in, he would have to work for every out.
Right.
At that point, finally, that's when the manager called in the reliever. But at that point, the damage is done.
Right.
The next guy up hits a double, drives in one run, and then at that point, it was just getting that second baseman home, tied it up at 2-2, and then in extra innings, the Royals pulled off the win and win the championship.
Wow.
I mean, it's...
See, all it took was like two batters, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
And it just surprised me that he left Matt Harvey in for that ninth inning, and I think... Especially if the Mets don't win a World Series anytime soon, like let's say the next 20 years the Mets don't go back to the World Series, I think this is going to linger on the Mets that, you know, they let the pride of trying to get a complete game for Matt Harvey get to them.
I mean, they were already pretty far behind in the series though.
Yeah, but you went, it's 2-0 going into the ninth inning.
Right.
You do what you can to stay alive.
That's true.
In the postseason, The goal is stay alive. Just
maybe they thought live another day. Maybe they thought he was the best option.
Maybe they did, but I would say no.
Now
you're going up to 102 pitches in the ninth inning, I'd say bring in the reliever.
I mean, what happens if they had left him in for one more batter? Maybe he gets the outs that he needs though.
Well, he would have to work for every out. He's going to get a double play on that.
Well, I mean, who's to say he couldn't do it though? If he was pitching that well the rest of the game. I mean, so you're just hinging on the pitch count thing.
I am.
You think that was just he's reached his limit and there's no.
When you're hitting 100, that's when you should start to maybe call up a reliever, especially in an elimination game.
But in this case, calling in the reliever was the exact opposite of. I know the damage was done, but
I could see this strategy in a game one or game two. All right.
Yeah.
Your survival isn't on the line yet, and you've got some room to make a risk or you know something like that. When it's game five and you're down 3-1 and you need to survive to live another day,
yeah, you got to get that win no matter what.
Yeah, this is not the time to play fancy here.
But I mean,
this is when you call in the reliever and you close down that inning.
I mean, the reliever's the one that ended up losing it though.
He did, but it doesn't help that there's already a runner at second.
Yeah, true. I'm just trying to decide, at that point, would it have been better to stay pat or would it have been better to switch? I mean, obviously they switched and we see what happened there. But, I mean, maybe there was a reason they wanted to keep him in and not bring in that reliever because, obviously, they brought him in and he gave up two runs.
But it's harder to work as a reliever if there's already damage done.
Right.
If the reliever comes in clean into that inning, it is much easier.
Yeah.
To close out that game, you know?
Yeah,
every relieving pitcher will tell you that. If they have a choice, come in clean, you know?
Yeah, it's always tough to work with whatever somebody else leaves you with.
Yeah. And I think that's going to haunt Mets fans.
Probably.
You know? It's just... Because here's the thing. It would have kept them alive for a game six. And then game six... Maybe you win that one, force a game seven.
I don't know. I mean, they were already leading 3-1 in the series, the Royals, at that point.
you just want to write this off. Royals win. Get out of here.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, like.
Yeah, baseball. Come on. Be done. It's November. Get out of here.
I don't know the statistics, but I would like to see the statistics of how many teams can come back from like a 3-1 deficit in the series.
3-1 is, well, it's still slim.
That's a pretty staggering lead.
But it's workable. You can come back from 3-1.
I guess it's workable. I mean, we've seen it happen before.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not unheard of.
We see teams go up like 3-0 and then the other team
3-0 would be astronomically a long shot.
I think we've seen it happen though before, haven't we?
Once, twice, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, twice in our short lives. So it's not that, that unheard of.
Yeah. But 3-1 is relatively, you can start to build and make a comeback on that. Cause really it's just get the game seven.
Yeah.
Cause anything can happen in a game seven.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, the Mets suck.
There you go. I mean, Expert analysis from Michael Costanzo.
What do you want me to say? I mean, you know, they I mean,
here's what I want you to say. What?
And you blew it! blew it.
Yeah, there you go.
They did. I mean, you look at the series, 4-1. I mean, it seems like they didn't even show up.
And you blew it! You blew it.
Well, they didn't show up in the latter half of all those games. Because a lot of the time they were leading.
It doesn't matter if you show up in the first half and then decide to go home before the second half.
Yeah, exactly. That's
you know,
happened.
If you're going to show up, you got to stick around for the whole game.
Yeah, they didn't finish those games.
You know, so you know, I don't know. I have no time for teams that play pathetically like that.
Ooh, Mr. Big Shot over here. I have no time for teams.
I have no time for teams like this.
Okay.
I feel the same. I mean, I just, I don't know, because I'm just so bitter because of the football season. Like, all sports is just, like, sour.
Damn it, Mike!
Cynical.
We didn't get to football yet. You just, yeah, try
and help it.
Weave football no matter in what subject we're trying
to. I can't
to
help
to.
It. I can't help it.
All
it's
right.
Football, 24/7. But, no, I mean, the Mets suck. The Royals, what are you laughing about? The Mets suck. The Royals deserve to win.
Commentary.
I'm summing it up. I'm doing the wrap up. The Mets suck. The Royals deserve to win, and they won in pretty solid fashion. So
right. Let me give you one last baseball question.
Okay.
Are you more upset over the Mets because they're our division rival, or are you more upset over the Mets because they knocked the Cubs out and disavowed the Back to the Future prediction?
Probably the Back to the Future one, honestly.
I know. I'm really more pissed off at that.
I really am.
I would have wanted to see the Cubs win the World Series this year.
Yeah. I was like, oh, man, I might watch it if they make it. But they didn't make it. I was like, oh, screw it. I don't want to watch the Mets, especially since they ruined my Back to the Future thing.
Damn it, Mets.
God, you know, if you're going to spoil the Back to the Future thing, at least win the stupid thing. You know, don't spoil the Back to the Future thing and then go out there and suck. Hey, come on. Come on. Now you're just ruining everybody's fun. Get the hell out of here.
And you blew it. You blew it.
There you go. Michael Costanzo and Robert De Niro can agree. The Mets blew it.
Yes,
in the World
did.
Series. But that does mean the Kansas City Royals are your World Series champions after a 30-year drought. To go back to a positive, it's a great story for Kansas City.
It is.
And, Disney, this should be your next baseball movie right here, this team.
Yeah.
Because most of their big wins were come from behind victories, including the Game 5 World Series win. Can I make one ridiculous assumption?
Sure.
All right. So, around town, we have the Wilmington Blue Rocks. They're a minor league team.
Okay.
Who are a minor league affiliate for the Kansas City Royals.
Why are they all the way out here?
It just is.
It just, okay.
So, in a way, the tri-state area kind of had something to do with the World Series win. Yay.
No.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to try and make that stretch, I mean, that's...
Yeah,
that's a stretch, man. I mean, like, you've gone beyond being, like, an Olympic gymnast. I don't know what type of gymnast you are now making stretches like that.
Yay!
Question mark?
It's bad right now for Philadelphia sports. There's nothing.
It's been bad, Rich.
Yes.
It's been
the
bad.
Only hope that
you're
I
you're just
gonna connected.
Latch onto obscure triple A teams. Double A teams, whatever.
I'll tell you what, though. Seriously, I did go to a Blue Rocks game this year.
Yeah.
It is fun and cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool.
Okay.
If you have some time and you happen to be in the Delco area, go for a
it's
ride
the most
down.
Most random thing ever to go see. What are they?
The Wilmington Blue Rocks.
Wilmington Blue Rocks.
Yes. And oh wait, I'm going to blow your mind right now. All right.
Okay.
This is true. I am not making this up. I am not on drugs. I am not high.
am a little suspicious.
When the Blue Rocks have a home run for the home team, when the home team scores a home run.
Right.
A piece of celery runs out onto the field and dances.
Why?
And then runs back in.
Why celery?
I don't know.
Is that like the state food?
I don't know.
Or
it just happens. Deal with it.
It just happens.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You have to go to a Wilmington Blue Rocks game to understand.
A piece of celery.
Yes. A dancing piece of celery.
Is that their mascot or is that just...
It's one of their mascots. They have multiple mascots.
What is going on with this team?
Yes. Go down. Go schedule it next year. The Wilmington Blue Rocks, you'll have fun.
A piece of celery. Okay.
You'll have fun.
A piece of celery. That's the craziest thing. It doesn't even, there's like no connection whatsoever.
Right.
It's just like somebody was bored when they were trying to decide what should our home run celebration be. They were like eating wings and they had like the celery and the blue cheese and they just throw a piece of celery and they're like, make it happen.
Make it happen.
So the marketing guy is like looking at the celery. He's like,
I guess We could have a dancing piece of celery?
Dancing piece of celery.
Sure, why not?
I'm pretty sure that's how it happened.
Yep, so
that's the other part of the Disney movie. That's the weird B plot.
Yeah, there you go. That's the weird B plot. The random celery dancing guy.
I don't know how you're going to fit that in that movie. It's like, come on, guys, we can come from behind and win. And if we don't, we can go watch the celery dance.
Yeah.
And everybody's
no, he's the inspirational,
the motivational
seventh inning stretch, like.
They're all,
you guys can do it.
They're all down on their luck. They're in the locker room or something. And then the doors kick open. It's a giant piece of celery.
Yeah. I've made it all the way from Wilmington. I'm here to help you.
I ran from Wilmington all the way to Kansas City.
I made it just in time for game 5.
Yeah.
And I'm here to help you boys out.
What types of things does a piece of celery say to baseball players to inspire them?
You've got to be crunchy.
You've got to be crunchy. Just like the human body, I'm made mostly of water.
And you need water to make
it. And you need water to stay hydrated. I'm also quite fibrous.
Oh, by the way, he does have a name. It's Mr. Celery.
Oh, of course it is. Why would it be something creative, Rich? Mr. Celery, of course.
Mr. Celery.
Of course. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me.
Yep. So, please, I'm not making this up. If you want to have a good laugh, a good good time. And, I mean, the prices are cheap because it's a minor league stadium. I think you get the most bang for your buck, especially with
especially with Mr. Celery.
Yes.
You cannot beat Mr. Celery.
You have to go.
I mean, it's like the Philly Fanatic, whatever. Mr. Celery, yeah. Now we're talking.
Right.
All
right.
I mean, when you talk about iconic mascots, clearly the celery takes the cake.
Imagine if you get the Fanatic and Mr. Celery together. Oh, my God.
I mean, it would just be so green. Everything is just green.
Yeah. Too much green. But
I want to see the Philly Fanatic try and eat Mr. Celery.
Also, wait a minute.
What?
The team is the Wilmington Blue Rocks.
I have no idea what's going on with that team. I don't know. Like, a 5-year-old designed it. They're like, let's call it. What do you like, Billy? I like the color blue. Okay, what else do you like? I like rocks. What's your favorite type of food? Celery. All right, let's do it. What's your favorite sport? Baseball. All right, we got the Blue Rocks baseball team with celery mascot.
Perfect.
Perfect. That's literally how, because nothing makes sense. What does Blue Rock have to do with Wilmington? I don't know. What does celery have to do with Blue Rocks? I don't know. What does anything have to do with anything else? I have no friggin' idea.
There you go.
This is the best part of the show so far. I mean, forget the World Series. I mean, Mr. Celery. Mr. Celery! Should I say this for Odd News, Rich?
Mike, if you're having this much fun just
talking. I'm having so much fun right now.
If you're having this much fun talking about it, you need to go see it for yourself.
I feel like there's been so much hype around Mr. Celery that the real life thing can never live up to what I've imagined now.
Wait until it actually happens in a home run, when a home run happens. Because you know what's hilarious? Is like, you kind of forget.
Because
you know, baseball's slow.
Right,
you know,
right.
And so you kind of forget that that's going to happen. So when a home run does happen, and then you see Mr. Celery dance out on the field, you're like, what is going on?
You think it's like some crazy guy, like, somebody stop that man. No, that's Mr. Celery.
No, we cannot stop him. He has a force that nobody can ever stop.
Oh, my God. They should, like, put some blue cheese on him or something. That would be awesome. So
you got to pen that in. Write that down in your calendar. You got to go to a Blue Rocks game.
Go
next
watch
year.
Mr. Celery.
Yes,
I don't even care about the team. I just want to see Mr. Celery.
I'm not joking. Put that in your to do planner or whatever MacBooks have. Your fancy MacBook. I don't know.
A calendar.
Whatever. Put it in right now. You're gonna go see a Wilmington Blue Rock game.
Go watch the Wilmington Blue Rocks.
So you can see Mr. Celery. All right, not making this crap up.
Okay.
I don't make this stuff up.
All right. I've seen midgets grow. I've seen celery run. I don't make this stuff up. Celery.
We've seen midgets grow. We've seen arms and legs that stop growing because the growth cells that stop. Mandarabasata. I don't make this stuff up.
Yeah, there you go. I don't make this stuff up. All right. I've seen celery dance.
I've seen celery dance. All right.
I think that's going to be my new, like, tagline.
Richly Big, I've seen celery
I've
dance.
I've seen celery dance, all right?
Man, I've seen some stuff in my day. I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields in the bright moonlight. He's just like one of those crazy, like, spaced out guys, you know?
Yep, that's gonna be me in like 2 years.
Yeah, you don't give yourself very long, do you?
No, not at this rate, you know.
Not at this rate!
Sure, why not?
Oh my god.
Man.
What is happening?
I've been out there, I've seen a lot of strange things, you know.
Do tell, Mr. Rich.
I've seen celery dance. I've seen midgets grow. I've seen arms and legs grow. Well, actually, I haven't seen them. I've heard of a preacher saying that and then saying, "Manda ka ka ka."
Are you making this stuff up?
I don't know. I feel like I'm on pot right now.
You're supposed to say, "I don't make this stuff up."
Oh, yeah.
I set you up and you're like, "I don't know. I'm on pot right now."
Welcome to the High Podcast. I didn't even put crispy in it. The High Crispy Podcast.
The hell are you saying?
By the way, we're still the sports sampler.
And the saddest part is that we're legitimately not on anything.
Yeah.
This is just a normal conversation. This is what would be happening if we didn't have microphones in front of us.
Right. All right. So let's rein it back in.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
This is what happens when this is what happens when I try and introduce a non-football topic into the sports sampler. I mean,
you haven't learned, Rich. You haven't learned.
I get high and
just from talking about baseball.
Yeah. Yep. So let's bring it back to reality. Let's go into some football talk here.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitch in fucking football.
All right, and we're starting off the football news with our newest segment. It's time for Fluke or Gnaw.
Old Open Specialist John Bruno DeSanzo presents
Fluke or Gnaw! I love this, our new segment, Fluke or Gnaw.
Yeah, Fluke or Gnaw. All right, Rich. So this week we had some pretty awesome games. One in particular was quite shocking. The Denver Broncos laid the smackdown on the undefeated Packers, beating them 29-10. That defense was stifling, but also the offense finally showed up. So, Fluke or Gnaw, Denver Broncos, is this for real?
Gnaw. Yeah,
this
Denver defense is the real deal. I mean, if Peyton Manning can just throw one touchdown a game, one or two touchdowns a game, just get back into somewhat of his normal rhythm, this team's unstoppable. I mean, they already have Ronnie Hillman running up and down the field, so that part of their offense is getting fixed. If they fix Peyton Manning, I don't know, man. I think this team's the team to beat.
Okay. Because we've been having a lot of gnaws, I'm just going to say fluke. I know this defense is stifling. I know it's the best, not one of the best, but the best in the league. The problem is down the stretch, can Peyton Manning keep, can the defense make up for all of Peyton Manning's mistakes that he's eventually going to start making down the stretch? Because, you know, as it gets cold, playing in Denver, Peyton Manning's old. He's probably got some nagging injuries. He's already thrown 11 interceptions. That number's only going to keep climbing and climbing. I know they have the running game to lean on, but how much longer can this hold out? How much longer can they keep this model going of the defense and the running game bailing Peyton Manning out? Eventually, they're going to come up against elite teams that they're going to have to pass against. What happens then?
Yeah. I mean, eventually, you're going to get teams that are going to stack the box and Hillman has to have a bad game at some point.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, especially, you know, the Packers, I mean, we thought they were an elite team, but they just got completely shut down. But I just don't know if they have the lasting power. I mean, we'll see. They could. They potentially could. We saw the Seahawks when they made their Super Bowl run. They took it the whole year. So we'll see if the Denver Broncos can keep it up for the second half of the season. It's a long season. There's a lot of time left.
There is. Clarifying question. Is this just the defense or Denver Broncos as a whole?
Denver Broncos as a whole. I mean, defense, that's no question. They're the real deal.
Yeah.
They're phenomenal right now. They're not one of the best. They are the best, period.
Yeah.
Defense.
I mean, Green Bay has a top five offense, and they stopped them to only 10 points.
I mean, Rodgers had like
He only had 75 passing yards.
Yeah, I mean, he might as well not have showed up to the game.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have just sat down and had the same performance.
Yeah.
But the Denver Broncos as a whole, rather, I don't know if they can repeat this performance.
Well, if you're saying Denver Broncos as a whole, it all hinges on Peyton Manning. It really does.
And that to me is worrying. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Peyton Manning can do it much longer. I really think that he's at the very, very, very end of his rope.
Is there any gas left in the tank? We'll have to find out, and the Broncos season could depend on it. So there you go. That's our opinion for this week's Fluke or Gnaw.
Hold open specials. John Bruno DeSanto presents
Fluke or Gnaw! Love this segment.
It's so good. It's so good.
And we still have not had Bruno actually comment on a Fluke or Gnaw segment.
I know. We told him that. We're like, JB, you have to be on one of these segments eventually.
He's like, Gnaw.
I don't know when he became like this. I don't know. What would you even classify that as? You're saying Gnaw. Like, what is that? Like,
Gnaw. I don't know.
Like surfer dude talk or? I don't even know.
Gnaw.
But yeah, he said he's behind the scenes guy. What does that even mean?
He's the associate producer.
Yeah, okay. He's come up with one segment in almost 3 years, Rich.
All right, well, let's get to the next segment here for some football talk. It's time for our weekly analysis of four games that we think could be the most fun to watch. So keep an eye on. It's time for our Fantastic Four picks. Yep, four games on this week's slate that we think you should watch or keep an eye on. Tight matchups. What do we have for the first one?
Yeah, this one we got a defensive showdown. The Packers, who just lost to the Denver Broncos, are going to Carolina to face off against the Panthers. It's a Sunday 1 o'clock game. Both these teams have decent defenses. I think the Panthers are a little bit better. But what do you think? Can the Packers bounce back, or will the Packers bounce back, or will the Panthers continue their undefeated streak?
This is a really
tough matchup, I think.
Yeah. And here's the Green Bay Packers they're going from the frying pan into the oven. I mean, these are just two back-to-back defenses the Packers have faced between this weekend and last weekend. You know what? I'm going to go Carolina at home. If this was in Lambeau, I would say Green Bay without hesitation. But I think coming off of that tough Broncos game, that horrible performance against another stellar defense in Carolina, I think they're going to take it. I think Carolina wins this one at home.
Yeah, I think the question is whether the Panthers will learn from the Broncos and repeat some of what the Broncos did. The Panthers have a very good defense. They have linebackers that get after the running backs and the quarterbacks. They also have a really stellar cornerback whose name is eluding me at this point. But they showed against the Eagles that they can get it done defensively. And the Packers, they're still reeling from that loss a little bit. You would expect them to bounce back a little bit, but here's the thing, they're going on the road. Aaron Rodgers is very good at home, but not so much on the road. Because if he's winning all of them at home, that means the losses are coming on those away games. So I got to go with the Panthers too. I'm feeling the Panthers right now. There's something special about them this year. You know what? JB agrees. He says Panthers as well.
All right. Well, what's next?
You said Panthers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I keep on mixing up Packers, Panthers.
Yeah,
Packers,
it's very similar.
Yeah, it is very similar.
Carolina.
Yes, there we go. Let's say that. The next matchup, though, we have two teams fighting to stay alive in the NFC. The St. Louis Rams are traveling all the way up to Minnesota to face off against the Vikings. Both these teams are second in their divisions, trying to vie for a wild card spot. This game could prove pivotal down the line. Rich, how do you feel about this one? This is a very tough one. Not two teams we ever talk about.
Yeah, and they're both kind of very similarly built. Both have star running backs. Both have, I'd say, top 12 defenses.
Yeah, they're both up there.
Yeah, not quite elite, but very good.
Yeah.
And questionable quarterbacks between Nick Foles and Teddy Bridgewater. Between the two, I would trust the game more in Teddy Bridgewater's hands. He usually doesn't make any mistakes. Nick Foles, if you rattle him a little bit, he can throw interceptions late in the game. So if it comes down to that, I'm going to trust the Vikings. I'm going to go with AP and Teddy Bridgewater, and the on fire Stephon Diggs. He's been lighting it up lately. So I'm going with the Vikings.
Yeah, you know, you cannot discount Adrian Peterson too much. I mean, the guy is just an absolute monster on the football field. But also, you know, you got to give the edge a little bit to the home team. But, you know, regarding the Rams, we know what Nick Foles is capable of. We've seen plenty of him when he was here in Philadelphia. And like you said, he does get rattled. I think if the Vikings can get to him, I think if Adrian Peterson can start, you know, racking up the run yards and Nick Foles feels a little bit of pressure, I think the Vikings can win this one. So I'm going with the hometown team, the Vikings. And you know what? JB agrees. He goes with the Vikings as well.
All right. What's next?
Next, we have a very special game for Peyton Manning as he returns home. His team, the Denver Broncos, are traveling to his former team, the Indianapolis Colts. It is a Sunday 4:30 game. Rich, how do you feel about this one?
The answer is Broncos. The Colts yeah. are the only reason the Colts are even a decent team is because they're in such a weak division.
Yeah, and I mean,
Andrew Luck is having a really bad year. He's playing hurt. I don't see how the Colts, even at home, are going to be able to withstand the assault from the Broncos. I say Broncos win this one.
Yeah, I mean, last year this would have been a really good matchup, and the only reason we mention it this year is because of the storyline. But I mean, realistically, that defense of the Broncos, Andrew Luck's only playing at 50%.
Yeah.
He's playing with broken ribs. He's in an awful division. His team is old. I mean, let's face it, the Colts really did not build that team around Andrew Luck. I think the Broncos win this one handily. And you know what? JB agrees. Broncos, so far we've agreed on every single pick, Rich.
All right, well, how about the next one?
I'm sure we'll get some disagreements here. It's a division rivalry, the one we've been waiting for all year. It's the rematch against the Cowboys. Philadelphia is heading into Dallas to face off against the Cowboys on a Sunday night game. Rich, what do you think?
Please, Eagles, please.
This I mean, is be begging enough, though?
This should be one that they should. Please don't lose. Don't go 0-2 against the Cowboys.
I know. At that point, the season's over.
Yeah. Please. Eagles.
Oh, I so badly want to pick the Eagles. I really, really do. But I made a pledge at the beginning of the season that I was not going to pick them until they get past 500. So far, they have not earned back my trust. Dez Bryant is coming back. I know he doesn't have Tony Romo throwing to him, but Dez Bryant's going to cause fits no matter what. No matter who's throwing to him, I think he's still going to give our secondary a little bit of trouble. You know what? Dallas still has that huge offensive line. It's going to be tough to get to the quarterback. They're at home. The Eagles are, you know, they're coming off a bye week, but I don't know if they're really putting in the effort at this point in the season. They're kind of just coasting along. I just don't feel the Eagles right now. I got to say Dallas.
Ah!
I know, I hate it, but you know, I picked the Eagles in the first one and they let me down, so I'm going with the Cowboys. And I really, really hope I'm wrong.
What does Bruno say?
And I hope that you and JB are right because he picks the Eagles as well.
Alright, well there you go. Mike is the Benedict Arnold and we're supporting the home team. There you go, that's the fantastic four picks for week 9. Woo!
Nice.
There you go.
Perfect.
I just can't believe you're going against the home team.
It really, you know, I really fretted over that pick, but I'm a man of my word, and I can't pick the Eagles until they get past 500. They have to prove to me that they can do it. And so far, they have not proven anything.
Well, poor Mike, he's sad that he has to pick the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So hopefully the Eagles will prove him wrong.
I really hope they do. Please prove me wrong. I would enjoy nothing more than to be proven wrong.
Yeah. So, go Birds, prove them wrong, and that way me and Bruno can take the lead in the Fantastic Four picks. But there you go, that will end the Sports Sampler. A lot of talk, most of it nonsense, but hope you enjoyed it.
I mean, we barely covered any sports, Rich.
Yes, this is the nature of the Crispy Noodle
Podcast. We mostly talked about celery.
Yes, alright, Mr. Celery, go go see him next year for the Wilmington Blue Rocks. Thank you very much, but we'll take a commercial break. And we'll come back with the entertainment entree. And then after that, the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go away. More of the show still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
All right. In this story, we have an Asian man in Alabama who is offering $10,000.
That's his first mistake. If you're Asian and you're in Alabama,
yeah, he's lost is what he is.
Yep. Oh, what all this? What is Gundrak? Roll Tide. I love a bear blind. Very good. Roll Tide.
The Asian man in Alabama is offering $10,000 to anyone.
That's 4 billion yen.
$10,000 or 4 billion yen to anyone who can set him up on a date that leads to a relationship that lasts at least 6 months. 29-year-old Renlu Yu.
Just give it to the broad. She'll take you.
Yeah.
Tell her some payment plans. You win.
$10,000 in 6 months. What is that going to do? You just get that $10,000, go get the finest hookers you want and bang her out, and then you're good. Like, what is 6 months got to do?
Chinese dude wearing $10,000 hookers. You know what $10,000 can buy you in hookers in Alabama? They're going to buy you like a hooker farm.
They're like, he's winning.
If he doesn't like teeth, he can get it for 10 cents. Oh, he said like a bargain deal.
I got to hear more about these hooker farms.
Yeah, right? We need
to know more about these hooker farms. Good.
Are they naturally raised?
Grass fed. Best sucky sucky for $42. They come from bonsai tree. When he's banging, he goes, Osado Esiodo Kamotika Dio. That's from the Karate Kid.
Yeah, yeah, you mixed
it. Hey! Daisa, come here. Mr. Miyagi, crane kicking. No, hookah farm, come here. Banzai, Daniel-san! Banzai! He walks in. What kind of hooker can I get? Choose.
Wax on or wax off?
Up, down!
In, out, in, yeah. Out, in. Ooh, that feels good. In,
Daniel-san,
out,
remember
in,
when
out.
I told you, paint the fence? And then the sand the floor.
Yeah,
the
best story.
Oh no, never gonna go to keep down.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh yeah, we are back. Are you guys back? If you've made it through the sports sampler, you are going to be a fan of the Crispy Noodle Podcast for life. Thank you for coming back on what was the craziest sports sampler I think we've had in quite a while.
I think ever.
Yeah.
I mean, we devolved into shrieking and shouting about Mr. Celery, and I mean...
Mike never knew the legend of Mr. Celery from the Wilmington Blue Rock.
And what a legend. What a legend, indeed.
Yeah, so we took the break. And I had to research, you know, what was the origins of Mr. Celery, you know?
Such an iconic character, must have a great origin story.
Right. According to the owner of the Blue Rocks, literally the only reason the character was created was because, quote, they had an old celery costume in a warehouse.
And that's it.
And that was it.
That's literally the only story.
Just dust it off, throw it on somebody. There you go. Mr. Celery.
Mr. Celery.
Such humble beginnings.
And now so iconic. You know, you found a picture, and it doesn't even look like a piece of celery. It's like this bulbous green thing. It's like, and like just regular dude arms. It's like, it's just, I didn't know what I was expecting, but it's just amazing all around. Between the lacklusterness of the costume and the amazing origin story and the fact that this is even a thing. It's just a story for the ages.
Yeah. And if you want to see it for yourself, make sure to go to a Wilmington Blue Rocks game next year. And you can check out Mr. Celery for yourself. Oh, I can't wait now. Now I can't wait for 2016. I want to go see the Wilmington Blue Rocks. I want to see Mr. Celery.
But you're going to go and they're never going to hit a home run.
That would suck. That would suck so much.
Does it have to be a home run or is it any run scored?
I think it's any run scored.
Okay.
But
we'll watch them get shut out then.
But preferably, it's more exciting when it's a home run because you know, craziness ensues.
So they don't bring him out unless it's a home run or unless it's a run?
I think it's just a run, but it's more exciting if it's a home run.
But they won't bring him out, so if it's a shutout, they won't bring him out at all.
Right. So it's got to be some sort of run scored.
Man. Well, I hope they score a lot of runs next year.
Yeah. Come on. Blue Rocks, we have to see Mr. Celery. That, maybe that's like a cheer, like a mantra they have, you know? We can't let this get shut out. We need to have Mr. Celery come out on the field.
Mr. Celery. Mr. Celery. And the team's like, you hear that? They're chanting for our mascot. We have to do this for them.
That could be the next Disney movie.
Yeah. It's a sequel to the Royals one.
Yeah.
It's a straight-to-DVD sequel.
Yeah, that's a straight-to-DVD sequel. Straight to on-demand.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, there you go. Enough sports. We've exhausted every possible avenue of sports for this episode.
I mean, next week, it's just going to be the Mr. Celery segment.
Yeah. What's he up to? What does he do in his off-season?
Yeah.
Does he hang out with Mrs. Buffalo Wing?
I think so, yeah.
Well, we'll have to check in on them. But as for now, we have to get to our next segment. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Understand award shows. This arena tomorrow, it's gonna be a completely different setup, some concert, something like that. How could you explain that? It crosses my mind a little bit, like when I go to a baseball game. After that night, the stage was gone. I don't understand.
There you go. I think Kanye West has a career in stand-up comedy.
Yeah, so that was Kanye West giving a VMA speech. This happened, I think, back in the summer, but I just stumbled across this video where somebody added the Seinfeld intro music over his ramblings about how he didn't understand award shows and whatever else. I don't know. What was he even talking about?
I think it was he doesn't understand award shows or something.
So, you know, just imagine
he needed was like the Jerry Seinfeld, what is the deal with these award shows?
Yeah.
What is the deal?
It would have been perfect if he had that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think the Seinfeld intro just makes everything that much better.
Yeah, it really does sound like one of his bits from the show.
It really, really does. It's fantastic.
I still don't understand award shows. This arena tomorrow, it's going to be a completely different setup, some concert, something like that. How could you explain that? It crosses my mind a little bit, like when I go to a baseball game. After that night, the stage was gone. I don't understand it, bro!
One night it's a baseball game, the other night it's a music concert. How does it work?
What's the deal with this thing?
Yeah.
With this stadium.
There you go. That's all you need. You are a step away from being a stand-up comedian.
He should just put the music career behind him and just go straight into comedy.
He should team up with Kevin Hart. There you go. You'd have a great
tour. That would be a very interesting combination, I think.
Yeah. So there you go. Man. Interesting. Fine. Yeah. Good pull, Mike.
Thank you.
But now let's delve into the entertainment entree. And we do it with our first segment in the entertainment entree that we always do. It's time for This Week in Entertainment.
Do a barrel roll.
Yep, do a barrel roll.
Do a barrel roll straight into the movies this week. a big
one. The barrel roll, press Z or R twice.
Don't forget, press Z or R twice.
You know, you can't forget the control scheme. Then you're just all over the place. Oh.
The barrel roll, press Z or R twice.
So that's right. Make sure you press Z or R twice as you barrel roll into the movies. A big one's coming out this week, Rich. I know you're looking forward to it. The latest James Bond film, Spectre.
Yep.
It's finally here.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it's time.
Yeah, I mean.
Yes!
Well, not that Bond.
No, different
Bond. This is Daniel Craig, but he's joined by Christoph Waltz, too. I mean, that guy is just amazing.
He's born to be a villain.
He really is. I'm super pumped to see how he does in this film. Spectre's been getting, you know, here's the thing. It's been getting okay reviews, but it's also opening to record box office totals in so many countries, breaking the previous James Bond totals. So, you know, we're just waiting over here in the United States for it to open up this weekend. Are you going to be seeing it this weekend, Rich?
I got to. I have
to. You got
to,
yeah.
Yeah.
You got
to. I got to check it out.
I mean, other than Star Wars, this is like your most highly anticipated film this season, right?
Between Bond in November and Star Wars in December, this is movie heaven for me.
Yeah, I mean, this is when all the great movies come out is, you know, during these last 2 months. Another great one coming out. This one hasn't been getting as much press as Spectre, but it's getting some early awards buzz already. It's called Spotlight. It's a historical drama. It's been getting pretty good review scores. Let me just pull it up real quick. It has a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes with an average score of 8.6. So the synopsis reads that Spotlight tells the riveting true story of the Pulitzer Prize-winning Boston Globe investigation that would rock the city and cause a crisis in one of the world's oldest and most trusted institutions. When the newspaper's tenacious Spotlight team of reporters delves into allegations of abuse in the Catholic Church, their year-long investigation uncovers a decades-long cover-up at the highest levels of Boston's religious, legal, and government establishment. So people are already very, very interested in this film, getting a lot of great press. It's got an amazing cast. Mark Ruffalo, Michael Keaton, Rachel McAdams, and Stanley Tucci. I mean, this looks like it could be, you know, keep an eye out on this one when it comes to award season. That's Spotlight opening this weekend in theaters. On TV, we have the return of MasterChef Junior Edition, Fridays on Fox. I love watching the kids cook. I think it's hilarious to see these little kids trying to, you know, cook these fancy things. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. It makes me insanely jealous that I could not make the types of dishes that these 10-year-olds are making. But it's always, you know, cooking shows are always interesting to watch all the cool food they're making. And
well, Mike, if there's one thing you have over those kids.
Oh, God.
It's this.
Sausages!
You've got the sausages.
You got the sausages.
You got the sausage corner nailed down.
Sausages!
That's true. They will never match me in terms of sausages.
Sausages!
So I can, you know, toot my own horn when it comes to that.
Sausages!
Oh, that's right. No sausages in the world of...
Sausages!
We haven't been able to bust out that clip in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Sausages!
So I gotta, like, keep up the ratio of that clip.
Yeah, so if we haven't played it in a month, you gotta play it, like, extra to make up for all the times we haven't played
it. Right,
right, right.
That's how it works.
Yeah, I mean, simple math, right?
Yeah.
Of course. Rich has got, like, a whole formula over there.
Yeah.
In the world of video games, I can tell you're getting ready to push it again.
No.
Okay. No, in the world of video games, a new... It's like, cause I can see his hand hovering over the board, and I'm just waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm like, okay, I can go.
All right, go ahead, video games.
In the world of video games, a new month equals new free games on PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold. For PlayStation Plus subscribers in particular, Telltale's amazing Walking Dead game is free. The second season is free for PlayStation Plus subscribers. I know we were joking about it a little bit last week, which is why, was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
I think 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. So it's sort of interesting that Sony decided to make it free for this month.
They were listening to the podcast.
We got big fans in Sony. It's true. It's true. But if you are looking for a big action-packed first-person shooter Call of Duty Black Ops 3 is coming out this week on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Just a reminder, if you have multiple consoles, PlayStation gets map packs earlier than the other platforms. I just said that Halo is going to be the biggest release of the season. I am changing that. It could be Call of Duty Black Ops 3. Call of Duty brings in more gamers than you can possibly imagine. It's what they call a system seller. This is going to be a huge release. It's set, the game is set in the near future and has those big set piece moments that Call of Duty is known and loved for. And of course, that award winning multiplayer, action. I mean, you can't beat it between zombie mode and competitive stuff. It's got something for everyone. So go check out Call of Duty Black Ops 3. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for this week in entertainment. Now let's feed the nerd side of us.
Yes, feed it.
Because this is breaking news in the world of Star Trek. What do we got, Mike?
Yeah, so big news. Star Trek, of course, has seen a growth in popularity the past couple of years with the movies that have been put out by, J.J. Abrams, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, he did the first one.
Did the first one, yeah.
He always does that. He just does the first one and leaves.
Yeah, I can't.
I had enough.
I mean, I guess that's what happens when you're like a big name producer guy.
He did it with Lost too, didn't he? He only did like the first
season? Yeah, I think he was only part of it for like the first season or two. And then he's like, whatever, you guys can handle it from here.
Yeah. Boy, ladies, don't marry him. He doesn't finish anything.
Well, honey, the first year's been great, but I'm going to go do some other things now.
I'm
leaving you for a better franchise.
I got another project I have to work on.
Got another project, yeah. Her name is Tiffany. but no, all jokes aside, Star Trek has been gaining in popularity. Not that it needs gaining in popularity, but it's, you know, been thrust into the spotlight recently. And CBS is looking to capitalize on that. They've announced that a new Star Trek series is going to premiere in January 2017. This is big news for all the Trekkies out there, you know, especially given the resurgence in interest for the universe. This could be their opportunity of another great Star Trek series. There is a caveat, though, Rich. Do you want to know what the problem is?
I don't know. What could possibly be the problem with a new Star Trek TV series? I mean, it seems like it would work on paper.
I know. It seems like a win-win for everyone, but the problem is that CBS will only be airing two episodes on broadcast television. The rest of the series will become an exclusive to CBS's online subscription service known as All Access.
So in other words, you have to pay for the rest of the season.
Yep. You get to watch the first two episodes and then pay for the rest.
Boo this man!
Boo, CBS! Boo!
Boo this man!
Yeah, so, this is not a good idea. I don't know why they would frame it like this.
Yeah, alright, so let me pose it to you this way. Is this a chump move by CBS?
It is. It is. This is an obvious money-grabbing move. It just reeks of greed.
Yeah, and it's not like they, why can't they devote the airspace to it on broadcast TV? You know, why do they have to put it behind that special subscription paywall?
Yeah, I don't understand.
That's the thing
it.
That irks me. That, and the fact that they're so willing to go so far as to air the first episode or two, only to yank the rug out from everybody's feet and be like, oh, now you got to pay an extra, what, $10, $11, $12 a month to watch the rest of the season? Like, screw you, CBS!
It's like CBS is turning into a drug dealer.
Yeah, really?
Oh, yeah, the first hit's free. After that, you got to start paying, buddy.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Do you think that this could hurt the new Star Trek series? Because
it could.
CBS, I mean, I don't know how popular its subscription service is.
It could. I mean, I to be honest with you, as much as of a nerd as I am, I don't know if I'd go out of my way for this.
Yeah, I don't think this is the type of series that's going to warrant.
I mean, the diehard Trekkies will.
The diehard Trekkies will. But I like me personally, I wouldn't go out of my way to spend an extra $10 to $12 a month just to watch one season of Star Trek.
Yeah, I mean, I already have Netflix and Amazon Video. Why do I need another service? It's just another bill at this point.
Exactly, yeah. And not to mention the fact that most people watching CBS probably, you know, they're watching the networks because it's easy to get the network channels, you know?
Yeah, they probably don't have extra money for a subscription service.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is, in my mind, there's a few different categories with television watchers nowadays. It's the people that are cutting the cord watching Hulu and Netflix, Amazon Prime, watching the streaming services. They're the people that are really into the premium cable shows on AMC and HBO. Then there are the people that watch the network shows, right? Of course, it's, you know, not everybody falls in those nice, neat categories. But to me, it seems like the majority of people that watch network TV shows probably wouldn't pay for an extra service.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's why they're the network channels, because they come with every single – they're in every basic package. You know, that's the draw of them, the fact that you don't have to pay extra to get them, right?
Right.
So CBS is like flying in the face of that strategy that's worked so well for them for so long. That's why their shows are so popular, because you can watch them no matter what package you have. That's why CSI and NCIS were so big. That's why Big Bang Theory is so big, because you don't have to, you know, pay for HBO. You don't have to pay for Netflix. You can just watch it on regular network TV. I don't know. I just feel like it's going against the business model of being one of the big four networks.
No, and it's an obvious money-grabbing move. That's what really pisses me off. It's just pure money here. The thing that pisses me off. Yeah, it really does piss me off.
It is. It's all about greed.
That pisses me off.
They're not trying to build the brand. They're not trying to draw in new fans, because this is going to make money hand over fist regardless. I mean, think about like DVD sales and merchandising and
commercials.
But you know, they just want as much money as possible. So they're going to lock it behind a paywall, but they're going to dangle this little sample in front of us to try and force us to pay for the rest of it. I think consumers are a little bit smarter than that. You know, we're a little more discerning. I don't know if people will pony up the cash just to watch the rest of the season after only getting one or two episode sampling.
How much is a CBS, whatever this is? What is it called? CBS? I don't even know what the hell this is called.
I don't know much about it, because, you know, it's not one of the more popular ones.
CBS exclusive? CBS, is that what it's called?
CBS All Access.
All Access. Ooh.
Yeah.
Boy, I really need to get behind the scenes with Drew Carey.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Actually, I probably would. I do like Price is Right.
So I'm looking at the website, CBS All Access. Wouldn't you know, it's almost impossible to find a price here on the website. I can get it for free for 1 week. I don't know how much it costs after that.
Yeah, they always do that. They don't tell you the price. The only website that ever tells you the price is Netflix.
I mean, this is just a pain. Okay, so I found it. It's actually only $6 per month after that. So it's not as bad. But
when you're adding, like, Netflix is $8.99 and Amazon Prime, that's not, Amazon Prime's $9.99 a year?
Yeah, it's $100 a year, yeah.
I mean, it's just like one thing after another. It's like, come on, is everyone trying to make money off of me? Jeez.
I know, I feel like I'm being nickel and dimed to death. And $6, it just feels like a nuisance at that point.
Yeah, and you especially know? For CBS. I mean, come on.
Really, what do they have? I mean, honestly, this is my other thing with CBS that annoys me, is that, and they're going to have an auto-playing video now on their stupid website. So the other thing that annoys me about CBS is the fact that they just, you know, rehash the same cop dramas over and over again with CSI and NCIS, just over and over and over again. They have a CSI for every city and an NCIS for every city. It's just... I don't know how they're so popular. I don't know. I mean, when I say they, I mean, I don't know how the network CBS is so popular. It's just NCIS and Survivor. I mean, I'm looking at their week schedule. It's just literally.
Survivor's still on?
The Survivor's still on, yeah.
Oh, my God.
They have like three episodes of NCIS, Survivor, and The Big Bang Theory. I mean, that's all they're known for. And now you get this awesome announcement that Star Trek is coming back, a little bit of diversity to the lineup, and they stick it behind a paywall.
Yeah,
it just annoys me.
Yeah, it was a dumb move. It's a dumb move. I don't know why they're doing this.
Boo this man!
Yeah, boo that company.
Yeah, really. So there you have it, folks. If you're looking forward to, man, we got like really negative there. If you're looking forward to the new Star Trek series in 2017.
The thing that pisses me off.
It really had, it really did piss us off.
It does. I would like to see a new Star Trek series.
Oh, I'd love to. I think it would be awesome. I think it was funny. We were just talking about it, I think a few weeks ago at dinner. We were talking about Star Trek.
And yeah, that's right.
How we watched the Next Generation. And we're talking about, oh, you know, don't discredit Voyager. Voyager is pretty good too. You know, I would love to see a new Star Trek series.
Yeah.
Just not on
Voyager. Wasn't that on UPN?
UPN, yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, come on, guys.
If it's quality programming for UPN, it can be quality programming for everybody on CBS. Come on.
Exactly. So if you're interested in the new Star Trek series, make sure you get your subscription to CBS All Access because the new series is starting in January 2017.
All right. Well, you know what? Have the nice sounds of Coldplay soothe us out from all that anger at CBS.
Oh, I'm already feeling relaxed.
There you go. Why not? And we'll use this music to go into a break. But coming up after the break, I've got your weekly dose of odd news. Everyone loves the odd news.
Oh, everybody. If you don't like the odd news, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, stick around. We'll show you why you have to love the odd news. Because coming up, I've got your weekly batch in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Michigan is making sure that your beer pint at the bar cannot be 16 ounces or fewer.
Do you have like an official beer inspector standing there?
Yeah, the Michigan beer thing.
The Michigan beer thing. The MBT.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. I remember the MBT. Is there 16 ounces in there? I'm sorry, sir. I'm reading 15.6 ounces. I'm going to have to take you in. So.
On the streets of Michigan, the Michigan beer thing is out and about to make sure you get the right beer.
Not the right beer, the right amount of beer.
Excuse me, right amount of beer. I'm drunk right now.
I'm drunk right now. It's all part of the business with the MBT.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, coming out of the entertainment entree, sports sampler, rocking and rolling.
Yeah, I'm digging the music.
Yep. Mike's dancing. Everything's
I'm
good.
I'm a dancing machine over here.
But coming up next is arguably one of the craziest segments we have here on the show. I mean,
definitely.
There's a lot of dangerous areas we can get into on the next part of the show, because it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
I had a dog named Chili.
All right, and Gary Busey had a dog named Chili. Don't forget that.
Yes, he did.
That's very important.
Yep.
That is crucial information.
That is essential for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
Yep.
For those of you that don't know about the odd news, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. All my reactions are my genuine gut reactions, because he keeps these stories hidden and secret, you know, completely sealed away from my prying eyes. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't know what's about to happen, because these stories always take us down wacky and wound paths. And what in God's name are you laughing about?
I'm ready to go on this first story.
I'm
ready to go.
I'm like doing my spiel, and Rich is like already laughing. I'm like, oh my God.
I saw the first line.
All right. I'm really looking forward to this one now.
All right. Well, let's launch into the odd news. And our first story is an update. And I can't believe I actually have serious.
Another update. Didn't we just have an update?
Yeah, we did last week. Yeah.
So another update for another story.
Yeah.
Is this an update from a story last week or yes. from really?
Yes, and okay. it's actually serious. Like a serious update. Like okay. it could be a news bulletin.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it has to do with Star Wars. Yep. If you remember last week, we had this crazy town in Ukraine, Odessa. God.
That's right. The Darth Vader statue.
Right. So first off, last week, this town transformed a Lenin statue into a Darth Vader statue.
Right.
And we were saying, wow, these guys are obsessed
yeah,
with the dark side and everything.
Yeah, we joked about how they're building a Death Star. Wait, they're not building a Death Star for real, are they?
Yes, no.
Oh, okay. I was like, you said yes. I was like, that's believable in the odd news.
No, but they might be. Two things happened in Odessa that are Star Wars related, and I have to mention both of them.
Okay.
All right. First off, a man in a Chewbacca costume was arrested because he was campaigning for city council in Odessa. But then there's also this. There's a law where you can't campaign officially unless you're, like, legally registered.
Right.
So that's what they arrested him for. He wasn't legally registered to run.
Okay. No Wookiees allowed in the Senate.
Yeah, right. Because you know what? If he loses, he rips your arm off. And it's,
yeah,
it's not pretty.
That's right.
It's not pretty for all those involved. But now get this.
Okay.
And this is true, and I don't know how they're going to handle this.
Okay.
This might have another update 3 weeks down the road.
Oh, God.
But a man who actually registered in the elections in Odessa under the name Emperor Palpatine.
Oh, my God.
Won with 54% of the votes.
54%?
Yes.
Are these people insane?
No. Emperor Palpatine.
This is the plot of Attack of the Clones.
He's now your
the Clone Wars. Oh, my God.
In Odessa, Ukraine.
Do they not watch the prequel trilogies?
I guess not.
I mean, they know what happens next, right? He creates Darth Vader. They build a Death Star. And they rain hell on people.
It's coming up. Here you go.
They elected somebody named Senator Emperor Palpatine.
Yes. He didn't even lie. He's Emperor Palpatine.
What platform was he running on? What were some of his key policies?
Pro-Empire.
Pro-Empire.
Pro-Death Star.
Pro-Death Star. Yeah, here in America, they want to build a wall. They want to build a Death Star.
Pro-marching.
Pro March.
To the Imperial March.
Ah, of course, sure, the Imperial March, yeah.
So, yep.
But there are always two, a master
and an
apprentice. So who's the apprentice?
I don't know. We'll have to find out. But
Mysteries in Odessa.
That's the name of the next Star Wars book.
Yes, episode 8, yeah. Mysteries in Odessa. I love that music.
Yep.
Every time I play that music, there's such like a final note to it. You know, I feel like we should just stop. It's so perfect, doesn't it? It's the perfect like wrap up music. But anyway, so Emperor Palpatine. I mean, that's the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
This guy is 25 years old. But he's legally registered as Emperor Palpatine.
Ukraine. What are you guys doing?
I don't know.
How do you let a 25-year-old get elected? Two, how do you let a 25-year-old named Emperor Palpatine get elected? Why are you building statues of Darth Vader in public squares? Why are you arresting Wookiees?
I don't know.
What is going on there?
I might have to go and live there.
Too much vodka, I think.
That's not a problem for me.
yeah.
But this might be
you could change your name to Han Solo and run for, I don't know, president. Dictator, whatever they have over there. I don't even know.
Wait, here you go. Here's the answer to your previous question.
Okay.
His official party is the Palpatine Finance Group.
Way to make something so sinister sound so bland. That's...
sounds like a really boring office job.
That's like if Emperor Palpatine was like, what do we call ourselves? Nah, not the Empire. We're going to call ourselves the Galactic Credit Union or something like that. You know, it just doesn't have a good ring to it. What was it? The Emperor Palpatine?
It's the party is called the Palpatine Finance Group.
Yeah. It's not doing it for me. I'm sorry.
Well, it did. It did for the people of Odessa, as he won 54% of the votes for the seat.
I want to know if they voted for him because his name was Emperor Palpatine, or because they liked his policies.
He's going to be the new mayor of Odessa, Ukraine.
Oh, good lord!
The other candidate, Sasha Borovic, said in a Facebook post, quote, I can't understand this.
Neither can I, Borovic, or whatever his name is.
And then followed it up with another post, people, what's wrong with you?
And they literally elected, like, one of the biggest villains, one of the biggest movie villains of all time. And they realized that, right?
Yes.
Are you sure they realize this?
Maybe they think it'll bring them strength. And you know what? Hey, I would be intimidated by a town that has a Death Star. You know? Don't want to mess with that town.
Yeah, really. They'll just, you know, they'll blow up your town.
Those guys have a freaking super laser over there.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just blown away. That's the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
I might go live here. I might have to.
It sounds like an awesome town. They got Star Wars statues and actual characters from Star Wars running their government.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Emperor Palpatine.
Please tell me he wears a big black robe.
I think he has to.
He has to. Like, is he legally obligated to wear a big...
At this point, he has to.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go with a gimmick, you gotta do it 110%.
He needs to paint his face completely like that horrible, sick white.
He has to get, like, Tesla coils and rig them up so he can shoot lightning out of his fingers.
Yeah. He's got to have the weird eyes. Like, yeah. He's got to go the whole nine yards at this point.
Yeah.
You have been elected for the prestigious office of mayor of Odessa, Ukraine.
Well, realistically, though, he was elected on the basis that he's Emperor Palpatine. So
yes.
If he doesn't live up to that, the voters are going to be pissed.
Yes.
And you have to keep your constituents happy.
He needs to be Emperor Palpatine all the time.
I want to see Emperor Palpatine, like, in a meeting. You know? Look at the third quarter numbers. I don't want to look at the third quarter numbers. Listen here, Mr. Palpatine.
Guys, where are you going for lunch?
Where are you going for lunch?
I'd like, if you guys could, I'd like Chipotle.
Why is your Emperor Palpatine, like, an angrier version of Andy Reid?
Because Andy Reid never gets angry.
I mean, I'm listening to you. I'm like, that's his Andy Reid voice.
No, I actually had to cough there because I didn't have a sip of water.
Sorry.
Thanks.
I didn't mean to point that out to you, but you ran with it.
Thank you.
You made it part of the improv.
Thank you.
It was good. Good job, Rich.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me on that.
No problem. Nope. Anytime, buddy. Emperor Palpatine, who's secretly Andy Reid.
Apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah. Go figure.
Who'd have guessed?
Right. No.
In Philadelphia, we sure did think Andy Reid was Emperor Palpatine at one point.
Boy, you know what? That's a much better theory than Jar Jar Binks being a Sith Lord or whatever the hell that was.
Okay. Let me tell you something. We're getting into this right now.
Oh, God.
Jar Jar Binks is a Sith Lord.
No, he's not.
There's an enormous Reddit
post.
He is. Rich didn't want to talk about it. You can tell. He's quite frustrated right now. But if you go to Reddit and you look up Jar Jar Binks as a Sith Lord, there is a comprehensive and exhaustive analysis of all the moments in the prequel trilogies where Jar Jar Binks proved time and time again that he should have been the real villain. Rich is falling asleep over there. He should have been the real villain of the prequel trilogies.
All right. Okay. Yeah, there you go. That's my opinion on that. Andy Reid is more likely to be a Sith Lord than Jar Jar Binks. All right.
There's always two. There's always the master and the apprentice. So maybe Jar Jar is the master and Andy Reid is the apprentice. What a combination.
Yeah, wow. Lock those two in a room.
Misa gonna blow up whatever planet Padme is from.
Naboo.
What planet do they blow up in 4?
Yeah, Alderaan.
Alderaan, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Misa gonna blow up Alderaan. I'm gonna eat a cheesesteak.
Yeah, need that blue milk.
Needed more planning on my part.
Where's that blue milk? I need that immediately. It's tasty.
That blue milk. Why wasn't blue milk?
Because it's the
future.
Sci-fi. Yeah.
Sci-fi. Everything's
blue. You know.
I love those tropes though. If you want to make something look futuristic and sci-fi, just make it a different color.
Blue.
Look, you want to make a table look futuristic? Make it green. Boom.
Bam.
Bam. Sci-fi. Future. That's how you do it. Future. Bam. Future. I just see George Lucas directing. He's like, that milk looks weird. Mega blue. Bam! Future. He's like a weird Emeril Lagasse, right? Yeah. Bam! Future.
Yes.
Instead of salt. Bam! Future.
Future. Oh, you're going to love this. You're going to love this, guys. Bam!
Bam! Future. What were we talking about? Emperor Palpatine. In Ukraine.
Yeah.
It's the story that just keeps on giving.
Yep. So, I don't know how this is going to unfold in the next couple of weeks. I'm sure there will be an update as to how this 25-year-old named Emperor Palpatine is going to take control of
Odessa. Do you think he
Odessa?
Really wanted to win?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I think this was a joke gone horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Like, and he's sitting at home right now, legitimately upset, like, guys, I can't run a town. What am I supposed to do?
I don't have any experience.
He's probably really worried, the poor guy. We should all send our support and tweet at Emperor Palpatine and let him know, it's okay, buddy. We got your back.
Does Odessa, Ukraine have a Twitter?
I don't know.
If they do, we
gotta
find
Odessa, Ukraine.
That'd be really too long for our Twitter handle.
Would it?
I think so, yeah.
Odessa, Ukraine?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, well. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll start a Twitter campaign.
We believe in you, Emperor Palpatine.
In Palpatine we trust.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. That was our update.
What an update. For you.
Now let's get into some new odd news. How about that?
Okay, what do you got?
All right, in this one, we're going to Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plains. You should have known that I would sung the song. You can't escape my singing. Da-da-da-da something. I was so good until the very end.
I know. I knew that was coming.
You so. What? The part where I sang or the part where I gave up halfway through?
Both.
Both? Yeah. That's my MO.
Yeah.
I'm going to sing, but I'm only going to take it halfway. all right. What do you got? What do we
You're
got
like
in Oklahoma?
J.J. Abrams.
Yeah. I'm only good for the first half of the song. After that, you guys are on your own.
Yeah, there you go.
I moved on to a different song already.
Right. All right. Well, let's do this story here. The Oklahoma Department of Corrections said that security guards have found an aerial drone that crashed at the Oklahoma State Penitentiary. The drone contained drugs, a cell phone, and a hacksaw blade.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is...
That drone had a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
The department said that staff at the McAllister Prison discovered the unmanned aerial vehicle upside down on the prison grounds Monday morning, and the correction officers determined it apparently hit the razor wire surrounding the facility and lost control.
Come on, you got to be a better drone pilot than that.
Yeah. A package connected to the drone with fishing line contained a pair of 12-inch hacksaw blades.
Man.
Gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Yeah, this isn't, like, small. We're talking a full 12 inches here.
This is pretty big for a drone to carry, I think.
Yep. It contained a pair of 12-inch hacksaw blades, a cell phone, a battery, two packages of Newport cigarettes.
Well... The essentials, Rich.
Two packages of Black and Mild cigars.
Wow.
Two tubes of super glue, a bag of pot, and a bag of methamphetamines. Hey, how do you like that?
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth. This is like some perverted, like, prison delivery system. And also, what was this person planning? Or was this for multiple people? This is for one person. Oh, my God. What are you doing?
This is all you need for a nice night at the prison.
Yeah. Two packs of cigarettes, some pot, and some meth.
Yep.
And hacksaws. Is he planning an escape or a party? I'm not sure.
It's the all-new prison party package.
Prison party package?
Yes.
I love it.
Call 1-800-PRISON-PACKAGE.
We'll ship you out a free shipment of meth and saw blades.
All you need is drugs, blades, and cell phones.
Oh, and the cell phone.
Yeah, don't forget about the
cell phone. Can't forget the cell phone.
That's very important.
Oh, my God. Call for our special deluxe package. We'll throw in an extra saw blade.
You don't get not one, but two 12-inch hacksaw blades.
And if you call now in the next 15 minutes... We'll double your order.
two drones will come to your cell.
Oh my God. It really could be like an infomercial. I love it. The prison, what was it? The prison party
prison
package?
Prison party package.
Prison party package.
Yeah, sure.
I'm afraid to go to those prison parties.
I think we have a...
nothing but hacksaws and meth.
I think we have an economic idea here. I think we could sell this.
I think so. We should pitch it to Shark Tank.
Yeah. We're going to need a whole bunch of pot, meth, super glue. I don't know what
I forgot about the super glue.
Yeah, what's the super glue for?
All right, let's brainstorm. What could they be doing with all these objects? So they have cigarettes, cigars, pot, meth, a cell phone, hacksaws, and super glue, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They're super gluing all of the cigarettes and cigars together to make a super cigarette thing.
Wow, that was very specific.
Well, what else could they be using it for? Are they going to super glue the hacksaws together and make some sort of, like, weapon that they could use?
Well,
I'd say a dual-bladed thing?
I'd say the hacksaw blades are to maybe, like...
That's to escape.
To escape.
This is why I don't understand. Are they escaping or staying?
I'd say they're using the blades to escape and kill people. The cell phone is probably to call somebody. Or play, you know, Candy Crush.
Candy Crush? It's probably that one.
Yeah, you know, that's very addicting, man.
Yeah.
I gotta have that flown in.
You gotta get the Candy Crush.
The cigarettes is to sell, to make a quick buck.
Of course.
Quick buck before you leave. And super glue, you're gonna super glue two guys together while they're sleeping. Why not?
Oh, okay.
Sure. I don't know. I don't know the logic behind these prisoners.
I don't know either. It's just insane.
Yeah.
I want to know who was flying the drone, though, and flew it directly into the wires. Also, why are cops not looking out for this stuff? They're just like, they're just standing out there, keeping guard, and they just hear, like, what is that noise?
Probably a drill.
Probably a drill. Yeah, the prisoner's using their power tools again. Look, if you give power tools to prisoners, you have much bigger problems on your hands than drones flying in meth. I'm just saying.
I was quoting Star Wars, but that went right over your head.
Oh, wow. All
right. Let's move on to the next subject.
It's far too late for specific references like that.
Yeah.
When was that in the movie?
New Hope.
When?
Must
be a drill.
It's when Obi-Wan, like, is trying to get to the beacon power, the power to the beacon,
right.
He has to lower it, so he has to distract two stormtroopers, and so he distracts them, and the stormtroopers are like, what was that? And the guy's like, it's probably another drill.
Ah, okay. I remember that now.
That was when stormtroopers had personality, before they were clone troopers or whatever.
Yeah, then they're just like bags of meat to be shot.
Yeah. Bags of Jango Fett.
Bags of Jango Fett. Technically, the stormtroopers...
Ironically, also comes with a prison party package.
What, Jango Fett?
Meat.
What?
Jango Fett meat. Yep.
Jango Fett meat.
Yep. That's
a really twisted... So wait, do they take the deceased clone troopers and just chop them up and feed them to other clone troopers?
Yeah.
Is that how they keep that massive army going?
It's Soylent Green, yeah.
Soylent Green is clone troopers.
Yep. Dead clone troopers.
Amazing. Right. So Star Wars characters are now cannibals. You know, technically the stormtroopers are still Jango Fett clones, I think.
Ugh. All right. Well, let's move on.
You're like, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Let's move on to the next story here. Oh, and this one's interesting, because you know what? This is actually reasonable in some instances. A man in Missouri was banned from passing go or collecting $200 when he actually started a fight at a Monopoly tournament, and police sent him directly to jail. And I gotta admit,
the author of that article had far too much fun writing that.
Yeah. But I gotta admit, this is kind of true. Monopoly will rip friendships apart.
Oh my God. It's
vicious.
It really is. I mean, if you think watching football is like, makes you angry, you know, George Carlin always said that, you know, when you're at a football game, you're capable of taking the lives of the people around you.
Yeah.
Monopoly is even worse than that.
Right. Because like, Monopoly, you don't just win. You have to cause your friends at the table to go into bankruptcy and take their money.
Yeah.
Like, there's something...
Slowly whittle them away until they're a husk of them for of their former self.
Yeah, like, there's something evil about that.
Yeah, well, the game itself was supposed to show the evils of capitalism, and people totally missed that point, and they're like, whoosh, it's a fun game.
Well,
little history lesson for you there.
Yeah. Well, apparently in Branson, Missouri, they had the 7th annual... Oh my god, I have no idea how to say this. OCAC... OACAC.
OACAC.
Yeah, OCAC?
OACAC. OACAC.
Missouri, what are you doing? This is too many vowels in a five-letter word.
It's four vowels! We can't do it!
Three, but thank you.
Three,
very
whatever.
Much.
I can't count.
Okay, but anyway, in Branson, Missouri, this is the 7th annual Stone County OCAC Monopoly Tournament.
What is that? Is that a town name? An organization name? OCAC?
OCAC. OACAC.
I'm going to look it up.
Go ahead. 69-year-old John Litton turned violent when he was...
69-year-old?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah, this guy's not messing around.
I'ma f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
69-year-old John Litton turned violent when he was asked to sit out from this year's tournament after he engaged in, quote, unsportsmanlike conduct during last year's tournament.
Was he trying to steal money from the bank?
Probably, yeah.
There's always one person.
Yeah, always takes that extra $500 from the bank.
Yeah. Oh, what a jerk.
Police said that there were no serious injuries when the tournament descended into a brawl. Litton was taken directly...
That's actually pretty good for Monopoly. No serious injuries?
Yeah!
I mean, that's impressive. Yeah, that's a win right there.
Yeah, nobody got hurt.
You really want to drive people crazy? Have you ever played Cutthroat Monopoly?
What's the difference?
So, I don't know if... this is what we called Cutthroat Monopoly is. We would take all the property cards and deal them out at the start of the game so that everybody started with properties. And we would trade to the point where everyone had at least one full set of colors so you could start building hotels on, like, your first or second turn. And it got super violent super quick because people were literally, like, going bankrupt on, like, the fourth or fifth turn. And it would just break hearts and destroy friendships as fast as possible.
Yeah, to me, it sounds like whoever's rolling first would have the biggest advantage.
Well, it depends on which properties you end up getting. And we used to play where you could wheel and deal, where you could, like, sell your hotels and get extra money that way. So, I mean, on every turn, you're, like, selling properties and buying properties, and it was just a mess. And it was a horrible, horrible experience.
You sound like it was...
Like, it was, like, I have serious PTSD from, like...
Yeah, you sound like those history documentaries, you know? I remember back in 1910, during the height of the Monopoly era...
It was 2007. We gathered around the Monopoly board. We didn't know what we were getting into.
We heard of this cutthroat Monopoly. We never heard of this before.
We decided it could be nothing but a little bit of fun.
I wrote a letter to my fair Virginia. Dear Virginia.
Dear Virginia.
I've gone penniless here on Park Place.
If you do not hear from me, it means I've ventured past Boardwalk. I shall not return. Please know. I will always remember our time at the Waterworks. Love, your one and only Mr. Moneybags.
That is great.
I mean, sometimes when you play Monopoly, you do feel like that. You feel like you've hit a point where you're like, I can never be sane again.
I can't manage my own finances in the real world or in the fake Monopoly world.
Yeah, really? It's just like rubbing salt in the wound. It's like, man, Mattel or Hasbro or whatever company makes it, you guys are jerks. I think it's Milton Bradley. I named every other company except the right one.
Oh, my God. Well,
but anyway. So, back to this old geezer guy... was violent.
Litton was taken directly to the Stone County Jail on charges of third-degree assault, disturbing the peace, and trespassing. He was ordered to be held without bond. When other prisoners learned of what he was taken to jail for, they were throwing dice at Litton, telling him to roll doubles to get the hell out of jail.
Nice.
So there
That's
you go.
Awesome.
You'll feel more comfortable with the dice around you.
Oh man, I'm just I think Monopoly. It's just, it's a great game, but it's also a torturous game. And that guy was literally willing to get physically violent about it.
Yeah, like so many Monopoly participants.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, that's like, it should be in the rules at this point. It's like the first person to knock somebody out gets to take their money.
Gets to sucker punch somebody.
Gets to sucker punch somebody. Or if you don't have the money to pay the rent on a property, then the property owner is allowed to punch you.
Yeah. All right, you want to get to our next story here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, we had Halloween. Right. So, of course, we needed to have a wacky Halloween story.
I should hope so.
Well, this is trick or treat. You may have drugs to eat.
We talked about this. Didn't we talk about cocaine candy?
Yeah. Well, this is a little bit different.
Okay.
Trick or treaters in Quebec, Canada got more trick than a treat when they accidentally received bipolar medication instead of candy.
Oh, my God. That sounds like really dangerous.
Somebody really messed up here.
How do you confuse? I don't know what bipolar medicine looks like, but if you're confusing pills with like Hershey bars and Reese's peanut butter cups, you got major issues, buddy.
Well, here's the story. A Quebec City pharmacy unknowingly passed out antipsychotic pills to kids.
This was a pharmacy?
Yep.
How do you manage that?
After a customer dropped her 17-year-old son's prescription on the way out of the store. The medication was quetiapine and Divalaprex. Beats me. which are both...
Ah, yes, Divalaprex.
Yep.
So delicious.
Which are both used to treat schizophrenia, bipolar disorder...
Oh, my God.
...and other psychological illnesses. Another customer saw it, picked up the fallen medications... and left it on the counter too close to the candy bin for children.
But how do you mix up the two? Pills don't look like candy. They're designed to look like the opposite of candy so kids don't eat them.
Maybe they look like Tic Tacs?
Why are you giving out Tic Tacs for Halloween? What are you?
These people don't know how to give out proper chocolate candy.
What are you, the cheapest, like, Halloween people ever?
It is a pharmacy.
I guess.
They're very strict with their candy allowances.
They're very strict, yeah.
No chocolates for you.
You would think like a pharmacy, they would be the type of people to not make this mistake. They're like, that's clearly drugs. We should not give that to children.
Sounded like a song there. Yeah. That's clearly drugs.
That's clearly drugs. Don't give it to the kids. That's clearly drugs. You're going to kill the kids.
Very blunt.
Should
there.
We give them chocolate or give them pills? I don't know. Whatever ends up kills. I don't know. I was trying to rhyme pills with kills. It's like a very upbeat song about killing children.
Good job, Mike.
Kill the children. Da, 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 da.
Switch out the medication.
It's like a super cheerful way to like talk about your master plan as like a villain. I'm gonna switch out the candy for pills. That'll make the kids go insane. They'll be lucky if they survive the night. Good luck, little kitties, and don't have a fright. So, right. I still want to know how they made the mistake, though. It seems like an impossible mistake to make.
Well, the pills were mixed in with the rest of the candy.
I don't, but how?
And were given out
but
to trick-or-treaters throughout the day.
And kids! Why are the kids like, oh, should I take chocolate or should I take pills? I'm going to take the pills.
Yummy, yummy pills.
Yay, pills! Look, I mean, where was this? Quebec?
Yeah.
What town in Quebec? Or was it Quebec?
Quebec City.
Quebec City? Man, they gotta get their act together, man. They just...
Oh my God. I have the best sentence right here.
Oh my God. All okay, right. What do you got?
This is, I can't believe this. Everyone sit down, get ready for this one.
Okay.
All right. Police Constable Melissa Cliche says, quote, ingesting the pills isn't dangerous, though the side effects include nausea, tremors, and suicidal thoughts.
Oh my God.
It's actually in the police report. Thank you. Thank you for relieving my, you know, worst fears. Oh, it's not dangerous.
It's
you
fine.
You may commit suicide, but you know, it's no big deal.
It's fine, but don't go near any weapons because you could kill yourself. But it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. Don't
worry. Sharp object.
No sharp objects. In fact, don't leave your house. Oh
wow.
My God.
In the police report, that might have been the dumbest statement I've ever read.
I still want to know how they made the mistake. It doesn't make any sense. Did they just see a bottle of pills? They're like, oh, it must be candy. And just dump it into the...
Left on the counter.
Okay. what does that mean? It got left on the counter.
I don't know.
I'm a pharmacist, but I can't tell what's a pill bottle and what's a Hershey bar.
This is the odd news.
Do any of them have actual pharmacist degrees?
I hope so.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do, Rich, because they thought drugs was candy. They're worse than the kids. I love that explanation. It was left on the counter. And I'm like, what is that? Oh, my God. It was left on the counter.
Yeah.
Try that one in court. Your Honor, it was left on the counter. I mean, what can I do? Well, in that case, you're free to go. It's like...
Charges dropped.
Not guilty on all counts. Next. Oh, fantastic. God bless Canada.
Yep. All right.
Unbelievable. All right, bipolar medicine.
Let's tone it down a little bit with some Florida stories.
Oh, now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yep, we always have Florida stories, and today I got two for you. Here's the first one. In Florida, more than a few people said that they saw a local Florida man publicly touching himself near a Panama City grocery store while he was waving at people as they walked on by.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great. just standing there cranking one out. And you're like, just holds out his hand to shake it. You're like, no thanks.
I know it's something to do with sex.
I'd ask you how your day was going, but I can clearly see it's been going pretty good.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Florida. Florida, man. So he's just standing. So where was he? He was just standing outside
a grocery store.
Just standing outside a grocery store, just
and waving at people.
And
why
waving?
Not?
Yeah, why not?
Hello, Mrs. Robinson. How you doing?
Some stores have sign waivers. This is just a more explicit version of that. He's waving something else around.
Officers were attempting to arrest Solomon E. Smith III. Wow, what a name.
You'd think with a name like that, he wouldn't stoop to this type of thing.
Nope. Officers were attempting to arrest Solomon E. Smith III, who's 39 years old, on a charge of indecent exposure following the alleged incident. But after a struggle with police, he was also charged with battery on an officer and resisting arrest with violence.
Wow, not good.
Yeah. One of the shoppers at Save-A-Lot in Panama City told officers Thursday afternoon that they confronted Smith, who was standing behind a fence outside the business, allegedly touching himself and waving at other shoppers in the parking lot.
That's just the creepiest part.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's bad enough that he's just standing there doing that, but then he just makes direct eye contact and just slowly waves.
Hi, Mrs. Rowe.
Hi, Mrs. Rowe.
How you doing?
How are the kids? Just strike up really awkward conversation, you know? What are you doing this weekend?
What a lovely dress that is.
That would be creepy. Oh, my God. So, I always feel bad for the cops that have to arrest people like that. Because I would be, like, terrified. I'd be like, you know, that's gross. So, how do they handle something like that?
The victim called 911. She said she was offended and wanted to press charges on the man. When officers arrived and ordered Smith to place his hands behind his back, he refused.
Well, he had a job to finish, Rich.
Yeah.
Wow. Look, I mean, come on. You can't just ask him to stop. I mean,
well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
Maybe he's past the point of no return and he just had to see it through to completion.
You're getting really good at these,
innuendos. Yeah.
Well, as police attempted to handcuff him, Smith allegedly pushed an officer multiple times before additional units arrived and were able to take him into custody. Smith was taken to the Bay County Jail. He's being held on a bond of $5,000.
That's it? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it should be a little bit more than that, but maybe not. I don't know.
How much would you give him?
I don't know. Like 20,000, maybe?
Well, he was outside of a save a lot, so they think he doesn't have a lot.
He was like touching himself and waving to people. That's super creepy. Yeah,
he wasn't doing this outside of, you know, like a Target. So save a lot is a little, he doesn't have a lot of money. So it's down to $5,000. So it's down to $5,000. He's got to save a lot.
Okay. You know? Okay. What if he was outside of like, I don't know, what's a really like fan, like Neiman Marcus or something?
Well, yeah, then it would be up.
That'd be like $50,000, right? Yeah. Oh my god.
All right, and I got another Florida story for you here.
Of course you do.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
All right, before I get into it, do you like ketchup?
I did until this story, I bet.
Yeah, you might not.
I actually love ketchup. I put ketchup on a lot of things. I put a lot of ketchup on it. I have a feeling I won't be doing that so much anymore.
Well,
what happened to my precious ketchup, Rich?
Well, you might say you love ketchup, but this woman, this Florida woman, must really, really love ketchup 100 times more than anybody else does.
Okay, I'm worried now.
Police have arrested a woman who walked into a South Beach diner, took off her clothes, laid naked on the floor, and grabbed all the ketchup bottles and poured it on herself.
Wow.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
It was a little hot. Maybe it'll cool you off.
Of all the things you can do to cool yourself off, ketchup. Man, I'm really hot. Does anybody got some ketchup? Why? What are you planning? What, you don't do this? You just squirt some Heinz all over yourself? Ah, refreshing.
Oh, Heinz.
Heinz.
It's their new slogan, Heinz. Refreshing.
Refreshing. Not really something you think about when you think of ketchup. Nice, refreshing ketchup.
Witnesses told Miami Beach police that Angelique Val got naked, turned over tables and chairs at Johnny Rockets, then climbed onto a table and poured all the ketchup bottles on herself.
Nice.
Then onlookers claim she performed a dance while laying prone on the table.
Wow. I'm assuming that alcohol and or drugs was involved in this.
One person told police he grabbed a chair to make a barrier against the woman. Wow. I don't want any part of this. I don't want any part of this. Get away from me. Here's a chair.
She's got ketchup all over herself. He doesn't want to get messy.
Other male diners encircled her and watched.
Where was this?
Good job, Florida.
This is Florida?
Yeah. Miami Beach.
Super classy.
Wow. Keep up the good work, guys.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
The strip club is putting on traveling shows now.
At Johnny Rockets.
Johnny Rockets. This is probably like the most entertaining thing that they've seen. Were they touching themselves and waving too?
Maybe. Well, no, they weren't at the save a lot.
Oh, okay, sorry. Hey, you don't do that type of despicable activity at the diner.
You know, people eat here.
People eat here. You need to keep it clean.
Yeah.
Only dancing naked women are allowed.
They're allowed to get naked.
Okay. Oh man.
Matter of fact, actually, Angelique, can you come over here? I got a hamburger here. I could use some of your ketchup.
Just get a hamburger.
You just wipe it all over her like face or something. Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's great. They're just standing. You know why they circled her? Because they all had French fries. They were just standing, watching her dance and just occasionally getting a French fry and just wiping it against her to get some
ketchup. They all had one long French fry.
What?
Let's move on. When police
they each had a really hard French fry. They needed some ketchup on it.
Yes.
So because it was
yes. 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 So police showed up and tried to arrest her, but she escaped. I guess she was very slippery with all the ketchup.
Oh, I saw that one coming.
But as she tried to run away, police eventually caught up to Val, and she was then arrested. So
this news is very sexual.
but not really that sexual.
Not really, really weird. Yeah, not really.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
You know what? It's sexual, but not erotic.
That's a good point.
I know it's something to do with, sex.
It is something to do with sex. Just not sexy sex. Weird sex. Ketchup sex.
Sexy sex.
Sexy sex. Well, look, a guy standing outside and touching himself and waving to people, that's not cool. You know, people pouring ketchup on themselves and other people dipping their french fries into that ketchup. That's in the middle of a diner, you know.
Yeah. At least do that at
not
save
erotic.
A lot. Do it at Save a Lot.
Yeah, do it at Save a Lot.
All right.
Save it for Save a Lot. That could be their slogan.
There you go. All right, I got one more story for you.
Okay.
And boy, man, this one. Let's
okay then.
Yeah, let's wrap this up. A Subway employee who was locked in the store's refrigerator for 8 hours overnight was forced to use tomato sauce to write "Help me" on pieces of cardboard, hoping her message would be seen by closed-circuit television operators.
Do they have closed-circuit television operators? Do they have cameras in the freezer section?
Do Subway managers even care if something gets stolen from Subway?
Yeah, really. Do they even have a security guard? Or is she just writing these messages for nobody?
Carly DeBonnie hoped her desperate message would be seen, but she ended up not being freed from the refrigerator until 7:30 the next morning when a colleague returned to work.
Well, at least she wouldn't go hungry. Right?
The store is facing court over the incident. She says, quote,
why is she locked herself in there?
She says, quote, at first I was in a state of panic and I was looking for anything that could have opened the door. I was trying to write "help" on pieces of cardboard to slide under the door. I tried to use ketchup or mayonnaise. Well, yeah.
Ketchup again.
Yeah, ketchup, man.
Ketchup is so, it has so many utilities.
It got to the stage I was so cold I didn't have the energy to bang on the door and I only had leggings on. My muscles became so cold I found it hard to walk for a few days. I had migraines and dry skin around my nose. When I went to the hospital the next day, I was close to having hypothermia.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what eight hours in the refrigerator will do.
That's intense.
The 20-year-old woman says she still suffers from anxiety over the incident and becomes nervous around refrigerators.
No, please, God. No, another refrigerator.
Oh, God.
So how does she get any, like, eating or cooking done? Does she, everything that she has, maybe not refrigerated stuff?
Yeah, I guess she has to order out food from now on.
Yeah. I mean, because how could she go back? How could she go to her own personal fridge without freaking out? God, I have to get that lunch meat. Okay. Brace myself. All right. I'm just going to go in real quick, grab the cheese, and get out. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You're going to be okay. Say the goddamn words. You're going to be okay.
Oh, God.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
That's actually audio of her boyfriend trying to get her to use the refrigerator.
That is.
You're going to be okay. Say the goddamn words. You're going to be okay.
Oh, God.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
What a great pep talk.
Yeah. Say the goddamn
words. Come on, honey. Say the goddamn words.
So because of this new, fear she has, she's suing, the Subway franchise. She says, quote, when I see a refrigerator, I don't leave the house for a long time afterwards.
What?
What?
Wait,
that sounds like backwards logic. What?
Where are you seeing refrigerators?
Yeah.
So if you're walking somewhere and you see a fridge, do you like immediately sprint back home and lock it?
Back home.
But here's the thing, it's like circular logic, because I'm assuming she has some sort of refrigerator in her house.
No, I guess she has to remove it if she's afraid of refrigerators.
Wow. I guess it would be sort of traumatic, but don't you think you would get over it?
Yeah.
All right, so here's the thing. If you can handle the cold, so if this case goes through and she ends up winning, if you can handle the cold, just lock yourself in the freezer and sue whatever company you work for, right?
Oh, we should do this.
We should. We both like
the cold.
We both
like the cold.
Yeah.
Well, duh. Here we go. Lawsuit.
Oh, man. I just figured out how to pay off my college loans.
Ta-da!
Look out, Subway. You got a new employee.
This guy's really anxious to join, and he keeps walking around the refrigerator.
Why is he wearing a parka? I just go to work prepared to get locked into the freezer, you know?
The franchise is being sued for, quote, breaching workplace health and safety laws.
But she locked herself in. Did they intentionally lock her in or something?
Because, quote, this incident shows that they did not ensure the safety and welfare of its employees.
Well, look, if she sticks her head inside the oven, are they going to get in trouble for that too?
Well, guess what? The franchise is fighting back and have entered a not guilty plea. So this will go to court.
It's going to get ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, on one hand, I feel bad for her because, I can understand. Maybe she has some lingering fears and phobias. But at the same time, I mean, how can you really blame Subway? Right?
Well, we'll find out. I'm sure that'll be an update later on.
I hope so. In the meantime, we got to start planning how we're going to take Subway for all it's worth.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got college loans to pay off.
Right. This could be it. This could be our get out of free card right here. But there you go, folks. That's what I have for you in this week's non-fortune cookie odd news. But before we start to wrap up, it's time to go over what we have learned here on this episode. So, folks, what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I learned that you can pay off your college loans by suing a local restaurant into oblivion.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
well, you know what? Preferably a franchise. Do it to a franchise. Don't do it to a mom and pop store.
Yeah. A franchise, like Subway. There's so many of them. Just take one of them down. Nobody will notice. Yeah. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
There you go.
Something else fun that you could try? You could try having a conversation with someone while you touch yourself. That's what Florida guy did.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
It sounds like a great way to spend an afternoon out by the supermarket.
Outside the Save-A-Lot,
yeah. But not Target.
No, do it at Save-A-Lot.
Save-A-Lot, yes.
Target, that's too fancy.
Too far too fancy to be touching yourself outside of a Target. Yeah. That's one way to drive people away from you. But if you want to tear apart friendships specifically, try playing a game of Monopoly with them.
Yeah.
Monopoly, it's friendship ruiner since 19, whenever it came out.
Perfect.
Perfect, yeah. What a great catchphrase or tagline. Or sales pitch. Yeah. I don't know what I'm looking for.
It's all right, Mike. We're getting to the end.
I know. We're getting to the end. We're almost there. You know what I need to keep me going? I need some drugs mistaken as candy. Yeah.
Yeah. You're so enthusiastic. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
You're in Quebec City.
Yeah, because apparently in Quebec City, if it gets left on the counter, it's up for grabs. Yep. You just put it with candy. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter what it is. Oh. But if you're looking for a really good time, make sure you order the prison party package.
Yeah, you gotta get that prison party package.
And if you call in the next 15 minutes, we'll double your order. 2 packs of cigarettes, 2 packs of cigars, a cell phone, and 2 hacksaws.
2 drones coming your way.
That's right. So much fun. You know what else is fun? Is the weird science fiction Emeril Lagasse. Bam! Future.
Yep, that's how it works.
That's how it works. Yeah, just make something blue. Bam! Future. Speaking of future, though, we learned that Ukraine elected Emperor Palpatine. So now we know how the Star Wars universe really happened.
Right in Odessa, Ukraine.
That's right. We're witnessing it now, folks.
Not really that far away.
No.
For being a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Not that very far away.
I think George Lucas meant, like, right now and in Ukraine.
Yeah.
A short time ago in Ukraine. Yeah. Emperor Palpatine was elected. So we also learned that Rich has a sausage quota that he has to hit every month, by continuously playing sausage clips.
Yep.
Just to get in as many references as possible. We learned that, there is, this is the best thing we learned. I think you know what I'm gonna say. Mr. Celery.
Yep.
I learned about Mr. Celery today. And what a beautiful moment it was. I love you, Mr. Celery.
There you go. You have to go see the Wilmington Blue Rocks to see it for yourself. And that's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Woo! There you go. Wrapping up this show.
Oh, that was amazing. You know, Rich, I gotta compliment you. That odd news today for this episode was out of this world. I mean, legitimately every story was top notch.
I'm glad you enjoyed them.
I mean, that was fantastic.
I don't think you'll look at ketchup the same way.
No, or celery.
Or celery. Well, that was earlier.
Or a lot of things. This episode has changed my perspective on a lot of topics, Rich. Monopoly, Save-A-Lot, ketchup, celery. It's just
Mike's life has been changed after this episode.
Mind blown. I mean, it's just, I'll never be the same.
Well, folks, that's what the Crispy Noodle Podcast can do to you. If you want more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find some of our best bits, interviews, and other fun videos that we've put up there. Most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your computer, your phone, or your tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And if you want to get the mini noodles, which are the best bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, shrunk down into a 2-minute quick clip, check out our SoundCloud page. Just search the Crispy Noodle Podcast and you should be able to find it. We've got a whole bunch of hilarious promos there. You got to check it out.
Oh, man, they're so good. So many ways to get in touch
with us. They're so good.
They're so good, yes.
They're so good.
So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's how you find us on the Twitters individually. Whew, what a show.
What a fantastic episode.
Yeah,
this is a good one.
It's a good one, but I'm drained. I think.
Yeah, I know. We're spent after that.
Yeah, I think it's time to wrap this one up.
Definitely.
Call it a night. We'll see you guys next week. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it for us.
See you guys.
See you guys next week. Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
The Noodle Podcast, 2015, Kablamo! Oh, get over here, pa-pow! Something!